don't have the ability. You don't have the capability. You don't have the talent. But I'm going to show you scripturally today that God is going to help you be a soul winner, because it's what God is all about. He doesn't invest in junk. He's put his best in the best. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light and to do his great work in the kingdom of God. So John chapter 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine. Of course, Jesus is speaking here. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, everybody say in him. Tell your neighbor, get connected to him. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Then he says it again, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. I'm telling you, you may not know it, but you're going to bear much fruit. You put yourself in the hand of God, it's going to blow your mind what God is going to do through you. Everybody say, God's going to do it. I and him the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall, everybody say shall. Woo, my God have mercy. Shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. In what? That I ask and he does. Herein is my Father glorified. How? That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's put our Bibles down, if you will. We want to talk to the Lord here just for a moment and ask for him to use Pastor and to open up our hearts and our minds today. Father, we come to you right now in the power of the Holy Ghost, and we thank you for what we feel. We thank you for the way that you moved so mightily into this congregation. Thank you for blessing the music, God, and the musicians, and Lord, that your spirit flowed through the singing. God, thank you that you blessed the worship today and you came down in our midst. We have felt your glory. And I know, Lord, that there are men and women here right now that you have already touched. And I believe that you're going to complete that touch before this day is over. And you're going to fill them with the power of the Holy Ghost. They're going to be baptized in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. We give you glory for it. You're going to transform their lives. You're going to do something awesome in their families, oh God. You're going to bless this church today. You're turning us into mighty evangelists. You're turning us into those branches that bear much fruit. You're changing our lives. You're giving us a confidence. You're lifting us up, God. You're working through us, and we thank you, and we give you praise. I wonder if you'll clap your hands to the Lord right now. Will you give him a Holy Ghost hand clap of praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let Pastor speak to us for a few minutes here today. Lord has been working on this incredible congregation. Wonderful people, faithful in every area. But the Lord has, he comes into our lives every once in a while, as the scripture have said that we read. He comes into our life, and even though we're bearing fruit, he prunes us, he doctors us, he ministers to us, because he knows what he has put into me, and he knows what he has put into you, that we can even do more than what we're doing. Tell your neighbor, you can even do more than what you're doing. Oh, yes, we can. Not because of our own strength or ability, but because God is going to do it through us. We learned last week, Wednesday, I believe, maybe a little on Sunday, we looked at the first time that Jesus mentions fruit in the Word of God. He mentions it when he is sitting at the well. The Bible tells us with this harlot woman who had had five husbands, and the one that she had now was not her own. And so the Lord showed us at the well that it is not my job or your job to judge who he's going to speak to. That's his job. He'll lay it upon our heart and we should respond. No matter what their background is, no matter what they're going through, no matter what their condition may be in life, physically, socially, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. When God gets ready to move on somebody, it's because he has already prepared their heart. And all he's looking for is for me or you to be willing to be that vessel that he can speak through and reach out to them. Nobody would have ever dreamed that little harlot woman would have come to the Messiah. But little did they know, she was already thinking about it. When Jesus talked to her, she said, oh, we know that the Messiah coming. And when the Messiah comes, he'll come with all answers. He'll deliver us from our bondage. It was already in her heart. The disciples couldn't see it. Oh, but the vein of God could see it, and that power and that source and that glory flows through me and you. And so that's how God helps us to identify those who are actually hungry for God. You know as well as I do that there are times you lay hands on people and you can't feel a thing, but then there are times you lay hands on people and all of a sudden out of your innermost being begins the flow of power that goes down your arm and through your hand. What is it? It's not you. It's their hunger that has connected with the power and the glory of God. If you pray and nothing happens, don't get discouraged. Just keep going, keep walking, keep seeking, keep looking, keep listening, because they are out there. God told Paul the apostle, he said, you're going to see Caesar. I'm going to get you into Rome, because there are many people there who need me, who are hungry for me. Let God work everything else out. Let's just be willing to be used. God, what you gave me, I give back to you. I'm not going to bury it. I'm going to get it up out of the ground. I'm going to put it to use to the glory of God. The second time Jesus mentions fruit, he tells us about the source from which it comes. I certainly don't have time to expound on this. I would pray that you would go to the podcast or ask the usher for the CD and they'll make one for you. But if we're going to be used for God, we are going to have to learn how to die. The source comes from the seed being buried in the ground and dying, but then sprouting forth because it's upon good ground. And the Lord talked to us about dying. The third time that Jesus mentions fruit, it brings us back to our text today. And this is where I would like to launch from here this morning by the help of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, focus on what God's saying today. I'm telling you, what the Lord wants to talk to us about can change our lives forever, change our perception of the Word of God. You know, the Bible says that His people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That word there actually means understanding. A lot of people know things, but they don't have clear understanding of the Word of God. Many times we'll take text out of context. We'll take the scripture and we'll apply it in areas when God really never meant it to be applied there. It had a whole different purpose. And I'm not saying that the Word of God doesn't have 2 or 3 or 20 or an infinite amount of applications on its scripture. But I am saying this: if we can get the revelation that we are supposed to have, and if we will use the Word of God within the content in which it was meant to be used, that there is no power in hell that can stop the Word of God. When it goes forth, the Bible says, it will accomplish that which it was sent to do. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. We find in our scripture the text that we have taken today and the text that we have been launching from for a while. We find that Jesus talks about that there must be a continual source, and that we cannot disconnect ourselves from the source. We cannot just survive on Sunday morning sermons and worship, or Wednesday night, for those of you that are able to make it, Wednesday night teaching and worship. It's got to be beyond that. Every day I get up, I've got to make sure that I'm connected, because I'm about to face a very hard, cruel, ungodly world. People that hate you because they hated Him. And if I'm going to make it, it was Jesus who said, fear not the world. I have conquered. I have overcome the world. And through me, you will overcome the world. But if that's going to happen, I've got to be connected. You have got to be connected. We must get connected. It is obvious that the better the connection, the better the flow of source. Verse 5 of chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now, I want to look at this verse, because you and I take this verse and we apply it in many different areas. I am not saying that the application is wrong. I am just saying that there is a primary application, that there is a direct connection to this word. And when Jesus said, for without me ye can do nothing, he was talking about bearing fruit. He wasn't talking about all the other things that we apply it to. We apply that to our finances. We apply it to family issues. We apply it to our health. We apply it to difficulties in our life. But let me say this to you. There are men in this world who are wealthy who do not give God a moment of their time. There are families that have great marriages and great family units who do not live for God. There are those that are healthy who have never seen a doctor. There are those who get through tough times and never call on the voice of God. And so what I'm saying is this: these things we can do in the most part through our own strength, our own wisdom, our own technology, our own abilities. Now I understand that in the end, all will come to a final judgment, and everything done within your own power and your own ability and your own knowledge will come to naught and will burn up with hay, wood, and stubble. But this is what I am saying today, and the Holy Ghost is saying right now, is that within yourself, within your own ability, within your wisdom, within your articulation, within your ability to communicate, you cannot, no matter how good you are, you will never save a single soul. It doesn't matter how many stories you can tell. It doesn't matter how good you are at what you do. You will never reach the true heart of man. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying you will bring forth much fruit, but without me, without him, you can do nothing. If you're going to reach your family, you've got to get connected. If you're going to reach your coworker, you got to get connected. If you're going to reach your loved ones, you've got to get connected. Come on, somebody help the preacher. We may be able to do a lot of things without his help, because you're made in his image. You understand that, right? If God never does a thing for you, you're already powerful. Oh, yeah. That incredible brain that he created in you, Jonathan, let you memorize all those Bible verses. Mine's either shrinking or losing connections. But that young, youthful brain, so powerful. There are things that we can do without his ability, without God's help. I know men do it all over the world all the time. You think God was helping them build the Tower of Babel? Or do you think they did it on their own? What was God's response to the Tower of Babel? He said, we better go down and put a stop to this. Because if we don't, nothing shall be impossible to these people. Why? Because they're made in my image. But there's one thing. Mary sought after the one thing. There is one thing that you and I will never get done
and that is reach the lost. Unless we are connected to Jesus Christ. Now that may not bother some of you, but it should bother all of us, because I guarantee you, including Pastor, every one of us in this building has a loved one that is lost and undone and without God. And the Holy Ghost is saying to you and to me today, if you're going to reach them, it's not going to be your doctrine. It's not going to be your affluence. It's not going to be your popularity. It's not going to be your natural ability. The only thing that's going to penetrate that hardened shell and get through to that heart is if we get connected to God Almighty. It's got to be that when you and I, that we are so connected to God, that even when we walk in the house where our family is, it's not us that they see, but they feel something else, something more powerful. The Bible says that it's difficult for a man to be a prophet in his own city. You know how it is when your brother sees you, he just sees a sibling. When your parents see you, they just see that snotty-nosed brat that they had to raise and change stinking diapers with. But if I can get connected to the Almighty God, if I can plug in the way I'm supposed to, then it's not me, but it's God that flows through me. And when I walk in that room, there's going to be something greater, something more powerful about you. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. I hate to say this, but it's true. It's the reason why we do our greatest impact on our family and loved ones when we first pray through. You notice that? You know why? Because when you come home from church and you walk in the house and you got that big smile on your face and there's something glowing out of your eyes, and the brother you just punched in the nose the day before, and the sister whom you just pulled the hair, pulled her down to the ground the day before, you walk into that room, tears flowing from your eyes, and you wrap your arms around your brother and you say, man, I love you and I'm sorry for anything I ever did against you. And you buy gifts for your sister. When they see you walk in, there's a glow about you. And they go, man, what's different about you? What has changed about you? You know what's happening? You just got freshly connected to the vine. And the full force and the full glory of God is flowing through the branch. And when you walked into that room, it was no longer you, but it was the glory and the anointing of the Most High God. And so we'll say, well, it's because it's new. They're seeing it for the first time. I know that that's probably true to a certain extent, but I believe if you and I will be honest with ourselves, we would have to admit we are not as connected and as innocent as we were the day we went down in the water. How can you say that, Pastor? Because when you came out of that water, you would have hugged your worst enemy. You would have spoken to the individual that has done you the most harm in life. You would have went up to the one who just cheated you out of your promotion. Who the day before you hated. But today you look at him and say, it must have been the will of God. Am I telling the truth or what? But something's happened between now and then. Because you have a hard time loving your enemy. You are too easily offended. People speak against you. Now, all of a sudden, your reputation matters. Is this too close? It's okay, Brother Jones. Can I get a thumbs up, buddy? Brother Jones, didn't you know I was talking to him? I was getting worried, Brother Jones. All of a sudden, everything angers us. We're walking around with bitterness in our heart. We're walking around with jealousy in our spirit. We're upset with those that did us wrong, spoke bad about us, mistreated us. Yet we want to claim that we are just as connected today to Jesus Christ as we've always been. But I come to beg to differ with you, because the Lord tells me and you that if we were truly connected to Him, that we would not be easily offended. And the Lord tells me, Brother Peter, that when my enemy does me wrong, I would find an altar and I would say, oh God, be merciful to them, love them. You would be like Stephen the martyr, who while he was being stoned said, oh, more than that. He did say, forgive them. You ready for this? Lay not this deed to their charge. You know how we pray? God, you heard what they said. You saw what they did. And then, let's say you don't say that. I know it's in your heart. Because when they lose their job, you go, God looking out for me. Don't mess with me, baby. You know I'm telling the truth. You know what's happened? We become disconnected. It's why now you can walk on your job and nobody even knows you're different. It's why now we can go into the grocery store and nobody even knows anything's different about you. You just blend in. All your dress may be a little different for five of you. Your actions may be, you know, just a little bit different, but something has been disconnected. And this is what God is saying in this verse. You cannot reach the world without him. He said, in fact, without me, you can do nothing. All these things I'm talking about, bearing fruit, reaching your family, reaching the lost, you cannot do them without him. I want us to stand to our feet right now, throw your hands in the air, and love God with all your heart. Will you do that? Come on, will you love him? Just tell him you want to get connected to him again. Let's open our heart to him. Let's open our heart to him. You can be seated. I believe it brings better understanding when Paul the Apostle said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You think he was talking about getting wealthy? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You think he used that to be prayed out of his dilemma? Out of his prison? Out of his situation? Now, one time he did seek God, thrice, the Bible says. And finally, the Lord came to him and said, quit praying about that. I'm not going to remove that thorn from you. I'm gonna use that. I've got that. I got a purpose for that. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You think he used that to conquer his enemies? Why didn't he just become Pharaoh of Egypt if he can do all things? Why didn't he just become, take the place of Caesar in Rome and change the government and save the whole city? Why didn't he do these things? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There is nothing that I cannot do, because Paul the Apostle had a revelation. He understood one thing. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, only in the boundaries of his will. Nothing outside of the will of God does that verse apply to. And the greatest will of God upon this planet is for you and I to reach our family and our friends. Let me speak to someone here today. You may be a guest or been hanging around for a while, but you've never allowed the Holy Ghost to come into your life. You've never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of all of your sins. But you know your family's in trouble. Your marriage is in trouble. Your spouse is doing things he or she should not do. Your children are in trouble. Your family and siblings are in trouble, and you're trying to figure out how to help them. God has come with the answer for you today, that if you will give yourself to him, because what you're trying to do, fix your marriage, fix your children, save those around you, do good in your family, you cannot do without God. You've got to have God deep down on the inside of your heart. And the only way to do that is to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Then, my friend, when you go home, it's not going to be you that they see. It's going to be the glow of God. Praying for my brother Harmon. He's the second oldest. He's in a VA hospital. He's damaged to his brain. First, they blamed it on drinking. He drank a lot all of his life. Then they more tests they ran, they realized it was Agent Orange. Harmon was in the intelligence division. vision of Vietnam. And saw a lot of things. Had to go to a lot of places. You had to go places and get there first before anybody else would get there. Because they had to kind of scope things out. So Harmon lays up in that bed, slowly deteriorating in his body. And I said, oh God, please help me reach him before it's too late. I wrote him a letter, talked about my experience years ago. Harmon, he may not even remember this, but he claimed to be atheist. I remember I graduated from high school, going into college for electrical engineering, and right before I left, he took me for a ride in the truck, his old truck, and he said, Dan, I want to tell you something. I know you're religious, but when you graduate from college, you will be an atheist. They will educate you. You will find out that there is indeed no God. I couldn't wait when I graduated to tell Harmon I still believed in Jesus. The smarter I got, the more I believed in him. When I found out you couldn't count the stars, I said, well, God told Abraham that 4,000 years ago. Before all of these telescopes and all these things were invented, God said, look up, Abraham, can you count the stars? No, you can't count the stars. Abraham thought he was talking about the 1,100 or the 1,100 stars that can be seen with the naked eye. That wasn't what God was talking about. He was talking about the trillions of stars and the galaxies far away, all of the galaxies put together, all the suns that are everywhere that God had so beautifully. I'm going to tell you, my doctrine's not going to save him. My ability to express Jesus is not going to save him. He is going to have to see and feel and witness something that deep in his spirit, he says, there must be a God. And if that's going to happen, Dan, his little brother, the youngest in the family, is going to have to get connected to God. Because I've got to be able to walk into that room and Harmon no longer see his little brother. There's got to be something that emanates out from him. That touches. I know there's something there. I remember the last time, not this year, but the time before, when I was leaving, he stopped me. And he said, Dan? I said, yes, sir. He said, now, you said his name was Jesus? I said, yes, Harmon, that's his name. So all I have to do is say his name. I said, Harmon, if you'll say his name, he'll hear you. He'll listen to you. The Holy Ghost is speaking to someone right now. Listen, I want to tell you. We could be 100 years before the trumpet blows. I don't have that answer. No man does. We can see seasons. But your family members might not have 100 years. The one you're reaching for might not. I've spoken to some. I spoke to one not too long ago. They were weeping and crying. Good woman of God. Pastor's wife. Good woman of God. She was crying. She said, I wanted to reach my brother so bad. I'd have never dreamed God would have took him like this. None of us want to go through those experiences. Probably most of us have at least once.
it through your valley. Walk through your valley with your eyes focused on a soul. God said, I'll move mountains for you. I'll straighten out crooked paths for you. I'll fill in the potholes for you. I'll make your path straight. About a soul. There's no mountain I will not move. There's no valley I will not raise. There's no crooked path I will not straighten. There's nothing I will not do for a soul. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Look at this. And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And fruit that remains. Fruit that remains. How do you get fruit that remains? When it's done by God and not by the flesh.
To me to be you.
I wonder if there's one person that's hungry today for this. I wonder if there's one person. I wonder if you'll get up from where you are and make your way to